Welcome to the weekly hotspot, where your host, Mistress Delia, and me, Ms. Olivia, talk about sex, kink, fetish, phone sex, BDSM, and more. We do distance domination, lumped into the catch-all category of phone sex. And I'll admit, when I started doing this, I thought that phone sex would be about, well, sex. Like many people, I had stereotypes about who does this and what they or we do. I thought it would be sort of a simplistic, naughty talk with lots of porn-like moans and groans. Oh, baby. Well, I've only ever been with LDW Group, so I'm not sure what it's like elsewhere. But I was actually very surprised that a lot of my conversations aren't about sex. So this is an adult-themed sex podcast that's not about sex.
I love it. I couldn't help but laughing, and I apologize for laughing in the middle of your moaning and groaning, but it was just so different from who you are. You don't moan and groan.
Right? Yeah. But people are like, I mean, I've gone to other phone sex service sites and I clicked on the sample audios and it's like, right. Hello.
Oh my God.
My name is Trixie Boom Boom. And I'm a college girl. Just want the boom to the boom boom. I mean, I can't even fake it, right?
I know.
But the voices are like so fucking fake. I have no clue how those women even do it. I couldn't sustain it.
No, I agree. Neither could I. And like you, I have only ever been with LDW Group. And I truly thought that phone sex would be exactly the definition, exactly how it sounded, solely about sex and all about orgasms. And
right. Ooh, talk dirty to me. What are you wearing? Well, I'm wearing a little nighty and touch my nipples, baby.
Aren't we all? You know, What are you really wearing today? Cutoffs and a t-shirt.
Pants.
Seriously?
I'm wearing a sundress.
Yeah. If you ask me honestly what I'm wearing, I'm going to tell you because it's not lingerie. It's funny. I do find very little actual talk, you know, with our distance domination to be actually about sex and kind of like you, and sorry again about my laughing fit, I don't moan and groan, but I do have real orgasms, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the reasons why, I don't know how to say this without sounding like really hoity-toity, but you and I are extremely popular. And I think this is one of the reasons why. It's because we're real. People actually get to know us. And if they're willing to tell us about themselves, we actually get to know them. We are as real as the caller wants us to be. We are willing to tell real stories of our lives and get very intimate. I think it's possible for the callers to also tell stories from their own lives and get very intimate and very honest with us, in part because we're not face to face, right? So you don't have this beautiful woman sitting across from you and going, what the fuck? You have a fantasy about sucking a cock? And then you watch her face go from, oh, I'm interested to you to,
no.
I just got a text. I need to leave. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So it's like a safe place to become really vulnerable. Now, I use cocksucking as an example, but a lot of our conversations aren't about sex.
No, that's so true. And that was one of the things that really surprised me about talking to people here. And you spoke about forming friendships, relationships, talking about your real self. Those are the most rewarding things for me, being able to form wonderful, relationships, intimate types of relationships that for me personally have actually spanned years, where we have shared so much about our real lives. And yeah, there's been some sex and some BDSM too, because you need that little bit of fun in there. But I think this ability to connect so well, to connect so intimately, is probably the biggest and best and most rewarding part of doing what I would say in quotes is phone sex, because it's really not sex at all.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody said the brain is the most erotic sex organ of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I agree with that.
Me too.
Now, one of the things that I thought of listening to you was this saying, some people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. I think that really applies to our relationships on the phone. Some people will call up for a 10-minute call and they'll be like, I want this, this, and this. And boom, we deliver it. There's this one guy who I've been talking to for years, right? And it's always short calls, like 10, 15-minute calls. And one day, I'm a New York Mets baseball fan. And one day I was like, say, do you like baseball? The Mets were doing really well, surprisingly. And I know, just wait until we get into football season and you're going to be doing the same thing.
Anyway,
baseball season, I'm like, ugh. So I said something and I was shocked. He snapped at me and he goes, I really don't want to spend any time on anything other than sex. And I'm like, okay.
Wow. Okay then.
I know. Usually people are not quite that ham-fisted, right?
Right.
And so now when he calls, I'm like, so what are we doing today? You know, I don't even ask how he's doing. It kind of shut me down a little bit. But the people that call just for a reason, that's okay. And that's tons of fun. But like you, I like the ones who are for a season or for a lifetime because it is more intimate. And it's more real, more multifaceted.
Oh, absolutely. And thinking about it, you've been here a while. I think I came here just after you. And I will actually, in just a couple of weeks, be celebrating my 9-year anniversary here in October. So October is my anniversary month. Reflecting back and thinking about so many callers with whom I have grown and who have shared so much with me. It amazes me. And I've got an example. So, and again, you did cocksucking. I'm going to cocksucking. Cocksucking must be popular.
Very popular.
I know.
Because, you know, think about it. Who are you going to actually tell quote unquote real life?
Exactly.
You know, you're going to talk to your wife of 15, 20 years. Right. So, you know, I'm really curious about sucking a dick.
Yeah.
Right. Or your girlfriend mm-hmm. of 6 months. No.
No. So anyway, my truth. My example, one caller that I've talked to for probably the entire 9 years that I've been here at LDW Group, he first talked to me and had a fantasy about sucking cock. And for a year, we talked about every aspect of cock sucking that if you think about it for 2 days, your brain could possibly imagine. And you know, give it another year and he's worked up to sucking a dildo. The next year, because he trusts me, he kind of researches where he could go to suck a cock. And then out of the fucking blue, he sucked a cock. And so that was in like year 4, I think. And so since then, his cravings have grown. And you know what? He could not have done that if he was a for a reason kind of caller, maybe not even for a season.
Absolutely. That connection,
yes.
Trust, intimacy, and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one guy called me actually for cum eating. we went through that. And then, long story made short, he ended up exploring what he didn't even realize were bisexual tendencies. Now he wrote an email. He said, I'm in my mid-50s. If anybody had told me that my sex life would be like this in my mid-50s, when I was in my 20s, I would have said, get the fuck out of here. You're out of your mind. And he said, it is off the charts, absolutely off the charts. And now we also talk about tons of other stuff, baseball, music. We email back and forth. It is a full relationship. And to see him not leave this earth with a huge chunk of his sexual self denied or unexplored is really, that's like a very spiritual thing for me.
Oh, that gave me chills. I have goosebumps. I really do. Wow.
Doesn't it?
It really, really does.
Yeah, I think we've all had callers who call up and they're older, like way older, and they say, I've always wanted to do fill in the blank, and I've never been able to do anything but fill in the blank. My heart just breaks for them a little bit.
I mean,
it really does.
Yeah.
And I can relate. When I was in my 20s, there was this guy that I was dating who was like, so let's talk about fantasies. And do you have any fantasies or things that you want to do, things that you're curious about? And I'm like, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, I've always been curious about anal. Can you lick my ass? And he like looked at me and he goes, what the fuck? Ooh, that's like so gross. That's nasty. Ooh.
Oh. That's awful.
Oh my God. Dude, it shut me down for years. I was like, that. Oh, you know, oh. I'd really like you to lick my pussy. Like, you know, very, very tame things, very vanilla things. So I think the combination of having some place that is not judgmental about sex actually leads to more honesty about the non-sex conversations that we
Absolutely. Have. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I think that that is just so fucking true. And just, wow. I think we have all had experiences, like you said, where we end up just feeling really bad about our kinks. One of the things that I have tried to do here at LDW is make sure that, as you have said, that our conversations are a safe place, because no one should have to deny a part of themselves. No one should have to hide a part of themselves, and no one should ever have to feel put down, nor should they have to shut down their sexuality because of embarrassment.
Unless they like that.
Well, true.
Unless they like that, but then it's insane. And even if we're doing, like we talked about erotic humiliation last week.
Right.
If you are able to deliver a fantastic mindfuck or erotic humiliation, that also builds trust and bridges the gap in intimacy. And I've noticed that a lot of guys that just have fucking fantastic orgasms will enjoy sometimes a lot of pillow talk afterwards. Oh my God, this one guy called me up. He was going through a job search, and I'm on the phone with him while I'm looking at his resume and rewriting his cover letter.
Oh, I love it.
I shit you not.
That's fucking awesome. I love that.
I've traded recipes with people. I've given diet and food advice. I've given exercise tips. Name something kind of out there that you've done that was non-sexual on a, quote, sex line.
Oh, you know that I'm a runner, that I love to bike. I have my special bike that I have this love affair with. It's my own little cult type thing. But I have actually talked to people about workout programs, amazing workout programs, and have actually, you know, kind of assigned that as an assignment that has nothing to do with sex or anything. But hey, it was part of a plan from Mistress, so that worked.
Speaking of advice, I actually had this guy who was or is very religious. He had never actually had sex because he was waiting for marriage. As he started dating this woman, he was really scared about performance, what to do, how to do it, how to burn off his sexual energy, etc. And then how to romance her. I'm sitting there giving advice and tips and all this kind of stuff. And it was one of the sweetest calls ever. He called me and he said, well, she said, yes, I'm engaged.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, I loved that so much. And he said, I really wish that you could come for the wedding.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
That's fantastic.
We could just say that you're a friend of mine or whatever. He said, I can't tell you how much I owe to you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he said, and now I have to stop calling because I'm now engaged, which means I can't call you anymore. And I didn't want to just disappear. And I thought, you know what? That's such fucking class.
Love that.
Isn't it?
That's total respect right there. And you gave him the best advice. And I actually do that too. And I think one thing that draws some callers to me is that I'm very open and honest that I am married. You read my blog and you know my husband's name is Jack. That's pretty much it. I write about him. I write about our bedroom activities. I write about our adventures. I write about our real life.
You also write about stuff that goes wrong with Jack.
Oh, yeah. I write about the good. I write about the bad. And I think because I do that, I do end up giving a lot of advice. And people do call. Couples call me a lot for relationship advice, for general sex advice, because I do share a lot of my own personal experience. And I even share Jack on special calls. He does calls with me. And those are very intimate moments. And that can really deepen the intimacy in a session or just in a conversation. It's funny because the clients that do call me for relationship advice, we talk about their real life things. And like you got that great feedback and a wedding invitation. I mean, the feedback that I get back, it's so fucking fantastic. You know, this is what she said. This is what happened. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's just good. Sometimes it doesn't work out well and we go back and revisit. But this part of it, I love helping. I love advising. And I love seeing how things work out for people. It is beyond excellent. It's just the very, very best feeling when you can help someone.
I have learned to be very Buddha-like with my help and my advice, because in Buddhism, they talk a lot about detachment. And detachment is not the kind of angry, oh, I don't give a fuck about you, kind of cynical, resigned sort of detachment. It's allowing yourself to really care and really be with someone and yet hold them lightly. So they're not, I don't know how to describe it really. It's detaching with love so that you can almost be more free to get really intimate with someone and yet hold them lightly. Now, I've had to do that because of the people that I've gotten really close to on the phone who just fucking ghost and just disappear.
Yeah.
And I have had my heart broken several times by people that just are super, super close, and then boom, gone. I like the guy that was getting married because he was classy enough to say, I'm going to stop calling. What I don't like are the guys who are like, oh, there's a new mistress. Or there's another mistress that I'm going to call. And they disappear. And then 3 years later, and they'll call me again and they'll say, oh, it's been a little bit. Do you remember me? And I'm like, you got to say just a little bit more than do you remember me after 3 years? Like, you know what? That's the ones who are for a season. If somebody is for a season, I love it when there's that little bit of closure.
Yes.
But I've also learned that closure doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Oh, that is very, very true. And that can be so hurtful and leave you wondering that, you know, there's someone so let me talk about real life for a moment. So in real life, I have had different submissives along the way. And before I moved to Florida, I had to say goodbye to someone who was very special to me.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. And from time to time, I will get an email saying, hello, ma'am, how are you? I think about you. I think about Jack. This is what's going on with me. But that's it. And then, you know, it's sort of one of these, like, my heart skips a beat because, you know, he's an older gentleman and, you know, had a couple of health things go on. So I never know. Is this the last time I'm going to hear from him? You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it gets you right in the feels. It really does. Oh, my God.
Yes, it does. You know, I think that's one reason why we're able to give such good and well-reasoned advice and counsel, because we are experienced with all aspects of sex, all aspects of heartache, all aspects of like the intimate human stuff that people don't have a huge wealth of knowledge about. Mm-hmm. Because most people don't have intimate conversations, or if they do, they have intimate, honest, real conversations with maybe one or two people in their entire lives, or three. I mean, it's a handful of people, tops,
right,
in their entire life. But something happens on the phone. Oh, God, you want to talk about heartbreak. This was, I had only been here maybe 2 or 3 years. So I was very new. This guy calls and he starts telling me about his partner who had died. They lived in a small southern town. They had houses across the street from each other because they weren't allowed to be a couple.
Oh, man.
One was the submissive who would occasionally do a little bit of light cross-dressing, and her husband, and they weren't married because they couldn't be, her husband was the one who had died. She couldn't grieve. She couldn't be public. She couldn't dress the way she wanted to dress for the funeral. And everybody there knew them as occasional dinner friends and golf buddies. So it would look really weird to just be sobbing.
Right.
Right?
Oh, my God.
And he goes, I didn't know anybody else to call. And I just, you know, I contacted dispatch and I'm like, let this person talk however long he wants to talk. I am good for it. I've done that on calls that are like emergency calls. And I really wanted to be there for him as a sounding board, as a comfort, not as a replacement, but someone who really hears and sees him and her and them.
Right. Wow. You know, I think I have experienced not that exactly, but that similar type of regret, remorse, hiding, heartbreak with callers, I would say specifically callers who have like gender confusion and a lot of guilt that they have around that. You know, they feel wonderful about it, and then it cycles to where they feel awful, and then they purge and then call and say that they're quitting and they hate themselves. And it's just, you know, same type of thing, not feeling accepted, feeling alone, feeling lonely. And I think that they call because they can find some peace, a bit of sanctuary, a safe place. And if we're very successful in our conversation, we can maybe turn around those feelings and kind of replace the cycle and add in something else like storage space instead of purging. So,
right.
You know, sometimes it's the little things that really, really, really can help with a little bit of that heartache and maybe give some hope sometimes.
I like to think of myself as an unlicensed sex therapist.
I love that. Me too.
Right? I actually did a blog post on my blog, experiencedmistress.com. I did a blog post. This guy had gone through this wicked, horrible divorce. Part of his complaint with his ex-wife was that the two were not matched sexually. He wanted to get into kink and explore kink, and she was very vanilla. Now, vanilla is fine. Kink is fine. But the two people have to be more or less matched in order for the sexual part of the relationship to work. I'm sitting there talking to him and actually guiding him into how to explore kink in the face-to-face world. So we talked about how to go to a munch, how to behave at a munch as a single man, how to get active in your local kink community, how to begin to not necessarily find what he's looking for, but be someone that the person that he's looking for would want to find. And he wanted a femdom. I suggest to all of the guys, don't go looking for a femdom. She will find you if you are conducting yourself in a manner that is something that she's interested in.
I like that. I even talk about things like that, but more specifically, and I write about this on my blog, begformistress.com. So you're married. You're clearly submissive. You want your wife to be your dominant, but you're submissive.
Oh, gosh.
And
right?
The very best advice I think that I have ever given, and I give this kind of often, and I do personalize it. So this will just sort of be the overview. The wife likes certain things. His job then as her submissive, even though she is not acting as his dominant, his job, knowing that he is submissive and he has a great desire to submit to her, is to be completely in service to her in his marriage.
Yes.
Right?
I think we've improved a lot of marriages.
I think we have. Floors are clean. Snacks are made. Back rubs, foot rubs are given. She's in heaven. She doesn't know what's, you know, why this change. And their relationship changes for the better. It's amazing.
So we're kind of therapists, but we can and often do provide a happy ending. Unless, of course, you're into chastity. And then you might never get a happy ending, which will make you happy.
Right. There you go. So it's an unhappy, happy ending.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I think after all of that, we probably need therapy.
I agree.
All kidding aside, I love it when we get into some of the kind of off the beaten path in a sex podcast kind of topics. This fantastic topic was inspired by a conversation that I had with a fan of the Weekly Hotspot. And we love it when you ask questions, make comments, and you inspire a podcast. Send us an email. My email is olivia@enchantrixempire.com. And Delia is delia@enchantrixempire.com.
We love getting those questions, and we love that you can listen to all the Weekly Hotspot episodes on our blog, theweeklyhotspot.com. And remember, each episode can be heard on Cock Radio on Spreaker at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday. Next week, we're talking about sex. Yes. Sex.
What?
Sex.
What?
Sex, sex, sex. We're talking about sex. Even though we spent this show talking about not talking about sex, we do love sex. We do love to talk about sex. So next week, sexy feet, smoking hot heels, stockings, and legs that go on forever. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening today. And remember, stay sexy and stay hot.